Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
All right now. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Accepting Alice.
Birthday boy today, 73 years young.
Arlo.
Arlo Guthrie. Yeah, come Thanksgiving, it's the Wizard of Oz, and it's Alice's Restaurant.
Well, yeah, there you go, it happens.
Yep. So, welcome on in. It is time, it's Friday morning, so it's obviously time for the Sarah Woods Kender Show. hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
How are you guys doing?
We are doing just. I mean, we're
living
human,
the dream,
but we're fine.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm just seeing your faces.
I know. I'm still
really
missing that. I know.
And Dr. Sam in the house. Hi, Sam.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Peter.
Good. Good to have you back. And rounding out the troika, Greg from the Concord Food Co-op. Hey, Greg.
Good morning to you. Yeah, I thought I'd get in there today to the studio, but I had a project at home for the Concord Food Co-op, so but I'll be back in next week.
Oh, okay.
If it's not one thing, it's another.
Yeah.
That's how it goes in life.
Nope. It is a little murky out there today. It happens in New Hampshire from time to time, but today I understand we're going to talk, according to what Greg told me, health benefits of nature and... Hello, you're preaching to the choir on this one.
Oh, I thought so. Absolutely. And, you know, it's really interesting. COVID-19, I live on a pond here, and it's just amazing how this year there was such a transition of the people that are out here on the pond. So many families went out and purchased kayaks and canoes, and so it has become such a family event. And fishing, Peter, I don't know if you've noticed the same thing, but how many new people are out there fly fishing? They, you know, they've all got the brand new gear, so you know they're new at it, but couples are out there. I've never seen so many couples out there fly fishing. So, you know, if COVID has brought any positives to our lives, I think getting out in nature. So
now I don't want to get into semantics on this, but I will. Because there's being out in nature and there's being part of nature. Big distinction. So just
Absolutely.
Because you're throwing people outdoors doesn't mean they're getting with the program. Do you agree?
Well,
I agree.
Let's have them make that distinction for us. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes.
Do you buy that, Sarah?
Absolutely. You know, the reason why, not the reason, but, you know, I'm a country girl at heart, and I was born and raised in New Hampshire and around and frolicking in the forest. And one of the main, I guess, impetus, you know, in terms of why I do what I do as an herbalist is to connect people back with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We've become so disconnected with our food, with our medicine. It's a beautiful thing when you can show someone a plant like yarrow that I'm looking at right now that can be useful for hypertension. And it can, you know, and it's very effective. So when people find that information out, their jaw drops and they're like, really? So I think that, like, you know, Greg said, is one great thing about COVID is bringing people back to nature, but on a different level, you know, you can come to a plant walk with me and I can show you exactly what all the plants can do for you, but in terms of health in general, it's a huge stress relief.
Oh no, it's great that people are back outdoors. I'm not arguing that. I mean, we've been complaining about that for years. But the difference between just walking down a rail trail, and then there's walking down the rail trail, looking, going, oh, okay, there's hemlock over here. Look at the partridge berries here. Oh, there's Jack in the Pulpit over there. You know, starting to take in and be part of it. There's the thing that some people haven't got yet. So I guess it's baby steps. So, you know, at least we got them back outdoors. That's half the battle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then when they realize they can pick the plants and dry them and use them in tea for medicine for health, well, geez, that's pretty empowering. you know. Mm-hmm. It's pretty empowering. So.
And
so,
Sam, while people are out walking, Sam, good for their yeah. spines, good for their backs, good for everything.
Well, movement is always good for our spines, but I'd like to just add to what Sarah had mentioned. You know, as just as a hobby, I started picking up, learning about the different medicinal benefits of some of the plants around, and I started making some of my own herbal tinctures from plants on my property. And, you know, it really expands my awareness of, the personalities that just these plants, which if we don't think about it, they're inanimate. But now they're part of us,
right.
and it really creates a relationship with nature that's deeper and broader, and I'm sure that's what Sarah is mentioning.
Mm-hmm. Hang on. You're not cutting into Sarah's herbal action here, are you, Sam?
Well, it's a hobby.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, it's fine. Life is a circle, right? I mean, we all come back around eventually, but mm-hmm. We've evolved with the plants. You know, we've evolved with the mushrooms. We've evolved with this stuff. And I think a lot of people don't realize how useful they are.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so Sam, how did you start your process? Did you a book and you looked up items and then went out to try to identify them? Or the inverse, you found a little plant and went inside and tried to identify
well,
it?
Well, I wanted to become more familiar with the things around me outdoors, and I had a guide show me and teach me about them, and I heard they had some, you know, health benefits. So then I looked into, okay, so how can I tap into this? And as Sarah had mentioned, you can dry them sometimes. I know you can make teas sometimes. And tinctures and tonics are other forms of utilizing them. So I did research on my own, And like I say, it's a hobby, but it's a hobby that's bringing me closer to a better relationship with the world. And I never would have thought of a specific plant as, say, having a personality or a flavor that's mm-hmm. distinct and different from anything else I've had.
And I think to add to that, too, you know, when you realize all the medicine and all the food around you, you're less likely to want to destroy it and develop it. And that connection is so important, especially right now with what's going on with the social distancing. And I love the fact that people are getting out in nature. And I'm getting a lot of phone calls in regards to wanting to know more. So it's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing, but it does help us realize the value, but not only that, but just the connection that we can make with the earth, and we're less likely to want to destroy it or destroy it in general. So,
the pandemic has been good for people and their awareness, because I saw a survey that said 7 out of 10 Americans believe that grocery shopping will be permanently changed, and 68% of them have used their time at home to reevaluate their food shopping and their cooking habits. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good. Growing food. We just bought a grow dome, a geodesic grow dome, to grow food all year round here on the homestead, and it couldn't have come at a better time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people are doing that, you know. I'm talking to people who own nurseries and, you know, the other plant people, they're super busy.
I've been hearing farmers' markets have been slammed.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Good.
It's very good. Yeah. It's very good. People are trying to put it more into their own hands, more so now than they ever have.
Yep. And gardening, every gardening outlet we talk to, mm-hmm. This starting back in April, said, oh, my God, we're running out of seeds.
Yeah,
we're running out of seed potatoes.
Right.
Everybody wants to have a garden in some size. And if they can do it successfully, then there you go. Then that'll spur them on to do it next year. And, oh, wait a minute, maybe I can. Maybe I can freeze. Maybe I can do stuff. And uh-huh. It's great.
It is great. And it's, you know, it's not only just for food security, but it's healthier to know where your food comes from, reducing mm-hmm. carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, the whole idea of eating a healthier diet and knowing where your food comes from is huge, and it's empowering. And then taking that next step to learning how to forage, learning what the plants are around them, because I do, I'll go to your house and tell you what you have in your yard and tell you how to prepare it and use it. And everyone has something. I don't care where you live.
Right.
Even through the cracks in the sidewalk, not that you want to harvest those, but,
yeah, good point.
But it's everywhere. It's literally everywhere.
And Greg, you've got some pretty, you've seen some pretty savvy people at the co-op because they made the, they started questioning where their food came from and what's in their food quite a while ago.
As you were mentioning that, Peter, you know, that, that more individuals are really spending the time to educate them on their food. The co-op, you know, through this COVID-19, our cafeteria and all our catering has been virtually shut down. We're down 60% to 80%, yet our sales are the same as last year. So the difference that is being made up with additional customers coming in our curbside pickup. So the volume of our business through, you know, all the, you know, the produce sales and groceries throughout the store is up, compensating for a, what was, is a substantial part of our business that is totally shut down.
Wow. Wow, wow.
Wow.
Now what about shortages? Some of the bigger grocery stores have had product shortages. Are you finding that an issue at the co-op?
No, I think we're fairly much through that. I mean, yes, some shortages still poultry and beef, not with the not with the produce or dairy, et cetera. It was just the produce and beef. Excuse me, the poultry and beef. It's generally in, but limited supplies coming in. You know, it's not always chock full as it historically has been.
Got it. Got it. Dr. Sam in the house. And Sam, I know one of the things you do is working with people and telling them how to listen and interpret the signals that the body's giving. What should people be listening for or looking for? What symptoms? You know, other than, God, I must be getting old, I'm getting creaky, you know, and you just attribute it to something else. When do you, what are the important signals? What am I supposed to be listening for and looking for?
Well, just like you said at the start of this, Peter, you know, it's one thing to just be outside and walk down the trail, but it's another thing to be outside and just start to notice what's around you. And sometimes, like, the signals and those signs can be so very, very subtle. It's like, okay, I go from an indoor environment to an outdoor environment. Feel the temperature of the skin, of the air on my skin. Feel the movement of the air on my skin. Start to pay attention to, like, okay, my feet are no longer on a paved surface. Perhaps they're on a bare ground. How does that feel in terms of my proprioception and my connection to the earth? And then it's just from that closest and most intimate, like, awareness of what we feel initially, start bringing that awareness outward to, say, the insect life that we might see, or the animal life, like the birds or the plants. And every single one of those beings has, like, an energy. And then we start to recognize that and take that in and realize that we're part of that. It's a subtle process, but it's mind-blowing. And then you go inside and you say, okay, in this office or in this living room where I'm spending my time, this is rather stifling and dull. So we start to notice these things that can be so subtle, and it's like a mindfulness that we bring to just standing still sometimes.
See, I'm glad to see... Again, I do draw the distinction, but I'm glad to see people get back outdoors, because too many people, to do a poll from Robert Frost, they see the woods by their house as lovely, dark, and deep. But it's not ominous. It's not threatening. It should be liberating.
No.
I mean, there's so much stuff out there, and it's rewarding. You just got to get out there.
It is amazing how conditioned people are to fear the wild.
Yeah. And that's why I love to see people, once they get in, negotiate their way in, around, and come out going, well, all right. There's a little confidence builder there. They feel good. Once you get past the, look, the bears aren't sitting there waiting to eat you. There are no tigers. Okay, stop, stop. Get that out of your head. Whoever put that emotional baggage on you, shame on them. But no, the woods are not that scary, kids. It's actually a place, a great place. I love it for reflection, just to, you know, get the clutter of the world out of the way so I can actually have some perspective and think about things.
You know, and Peter, the truth of the matter is, like you talk about the bears and such, you know, but there are horseflies, and that's like one of the things now, right now, currently, people are going to say, oh, those horseflies.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you just allow them to be there, they're there, but they're not going to constantly bite you. Mm-hmm. You know, once they start to get a sense of, you know, they don't have to drive you back indoors.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. Okay, let me say this, and not to be cruel. Wear a hat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Well, yeah.
I mean, they pretty much are harrying your head. If you got a hat on, they pretty much, they harry and then they leave. It's like, okay, you know, come on.
They harry, then they scurry.
That's not a reason to stay in the house.
Right.
Right. And I find, too, when people are removing themselves from their indoor environment with all that ambient technology and distraction, they get in the woods where it's quiet and there's so much solitude that they actually realize how stressed they were. Mm-hmm. I have friends that, one in particular, that, you know, she was just loving going into lockdown because her body finally came back into balance because of all the stress that she's under through work. So it's just another gift, I guess, from the COVID situation is that during those 2 months, people were really able to de-stress. And, but you know, clearly nature is an amazing contrast to our in-home ambient electronic lifestyles that we
right. Well, how many studies have we seen that mainstream doctors have said, gee, we've noticed that, you know, people who go out in the woods, the blood pressure is lower, the cholesterol levels are lower. I mean, the natural things, once you get out there, your body's going, okay, I'm not doing the fear of flight thing now. My body's kind of saying, hey, this is good. I like this.
Yeah, that's right. They even termed it nature deficit disorder.
Right.
And what a lot of people are experiencing because of heightened and just normal now, heightened stress hormones in their bloodstream.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. And, you know, radio frequency, the radiation from all the electronics does a number on our bodies, too, that's subtle that we don't always notice. So just to throw that out there, you know.
No, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And I love to see when people get out there and we're sitting there when I talk to them and they're going, oh, it was so good. And I'm like, yeah, we know. We've been telling you to get out there.
It's a new
Sarah,
awakening.
Are you giving tours yet, walks through the woods, educational walks and indoor going to individuals' homes for private consult of the herbs and plants on their property?
Yeah, I do. I didn't put up any formal like plant walks this year, but I'm definitely going to people's homes. I've had several in the past few weeks. But certainly if you want to set one up, anyone wants to set one up, just reach out to me through email. Go to my website and we can set that up. I do it all the time. I love to do that. But no, I haven't put up any formal plant walk classes, but I will resume that, you know, probably next year.
There you go. You can find out more at sacredtreeherbals.com or you can email Sarah at sarahsherbs.com or call her at 279-2779. There you go.
There you go.
And Dr. Sam is over there. You can continue this with Sam. Go to Dr. Sam at mycommunitycairo.com. And Greg, just show up in the parking lot at the Concord Food Co-op. Greg's sitting in the car. You can swing by.
Well, not today.
In his office.
We've got a project going on today.
So. Very quickly, Greg, we're going to have to split. What's shaking at the co-op?
Well, I did want to mention that eShop is starting at least by August 1st, and that information is on the Concord Food Co-op's website. So the curbside pickup was such a, you know, you just basically sent us a list of what you wanted, but Now that's been so popular, we will put the full store online. You can just purchase online and then pick that up at curbside. So you will not have to go into the store, but you'll have a much better idea of the products and how to order through the e-shop that, again, will be opening up online in just a couple of weeks.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. And, Sam, you talked about nature deficit disorder. One of the guys credited with coining that, Richard Louv, has been on the show a bunch of times. I met him a couple of times, and we had wonderful conversations about kids and the woods, and he was spot on.
That's right.
No, so hey, we'll just keep at it. We'll get people believing it. We'll get there. We'll get them. Sarah, Sam, Greg, again, thank you. Have yourselves a fabulous weekend. And, Greg, we'll see you in here for an extended version next week.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. See you later.
News on the way next.